Here we go. Malachi 1:1-14 says this. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I've loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declared the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of God. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with us, God, to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled. Its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Awesome. Love to invite Nick, our guest speaker, up today to speak.
It is always good to start by walking with your microphone right in front of the speaker, isn't it? Good morning, all of you. It's wonderful to be here today. I've known James for many a year, and he's finally gone away, so I get to come and have a chat. But I'm really just thrilled to be able to come and share with you this morning from this wonderful passage. I'm a bit disappointed in Will, because he said to me beforehand, Nick, I usually call it Malachi or Malachi. And then he arrives and he goes in and pronounces it so well. Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Father God, thank you so much for who you are. You are good and kind and gracious and loving and wonderful. Thank you that we get to gather together to worship you, to celebrate you, to enjoy you, and to just live our lives in the light of who you are and what you've done. Help us to see your beauty clearly today and through the rest of the week to come, I pray. Amen. So I've got 3 weeks that I'm going to be coming and speaking here at Austin Cove Community Church, and we're actually going to be looking at the whole of the book of Malachi. So if you want to find where it is in your Bible, it's a great place to put a little tab in so that you don't get lost every week. It is so complicated because it's not one of those long books. It's easy to find the Psalms, it's easy to find Ezekiel, it's easy to find Jeremiah. But then you find Malachi or Obadiah or any of those really small ones, and it's so easy to just skip over it, isn't it? Can I just having a quick look, we're pretty clearly split between men and women here, aren't we? According to a 2016 study, Men need to use much more brain energy to multitask. I've got some looks going, yes. But before you give me that look, a 2019 study says actually all of us struggle to multitask. And unfortunately, ladies just might have more practice at doing it. And so they're better at it because men tend to be one-track people. Have you ever found yourself having a conversation with someone and having a sneaking feeling that although they are talking with you, they're not really there? Their eyes are scanning the room for... Oh, I'm losing my microphone. The eyes are scanning the room for a better conversation, or maybe they're on their phone while they're talking with you, or they're looking up at the ceiling instead of making eye contact. I've certainly felt that. It's so awkward when you're talking to someone and you can just feel that they want to stop talking with you and start talking with someone else. Anyone ever experienced that? I have to admit, I've also been the person doing that to others from time to time. Not too long ago, I was at work on my computer when my wonderful wife phoned me. And instead of pausing what I was doing to talk with her, I thought to myself, I am a man, I can multitask. And so I did. Talking to someone who is multitasking is not a pleasant experience. My poor wife got the and the and the ooh and the sorry, what was that? And the Now, I'd love Taryn very much, but I was not honoring her or giving her my best on that call. She was getting the dregs. I was busy, I was distracted, I was going through the motions of being present, but I really wasn't present. And it makes me wonder, are there other times when we just go through the motions? Malachi was a prophet of God after the time of the exile. God's people had sinned against him. He had sent them away for a 70-year-ish time out. And then he had brought them back to the promised land. They'd returned to the city of Jerusalem. You had people like Ezra and Nehemiah who were instrumental in rebuilding the worship of God and pointing people back to how amazing God is and how he loves us and how he saves us. And Malachi starts, in fact, with this amazing declaration from God, I have loved you. Just by the by, have you ever noticed how often in the Bible God says, I love you? He really does. It's about 50 years since they have come back to Jerusalem. Everything is ticking along really quite nicely. As I say, the temple worship, the temple is back up and running. They've rebuilt it. People are offering sacrifices to God, But life wasn't easy. Before we talk about God, let's talk about us. Life wasn't easy for them. They're not actually sure that God really loves them. If anything, God's just a little bit of an imposition, a little bit of a nuisance in life. God calls them on their relationship with him. He says, where is the reverence that is due me? Where is the honor that is due me? The word honor there, it comes from the word for heavy. You honor those with gravitas, those with a weightiness to them, those who are massively important in your life, those are the ones that you honor. People who are significant. And here in Malachi's day, they were ticking the right religious boxes. They were sacrificing. They were going to temple. They were not murdering anyone this week. But they weren't actually valuing God. They were operating out of a sense of duty, not a sense of reverence and honor. Do you guys support any missionaries here? Yeah? Does anyone know a name of one of your missionaries? Baptist World Aid. Great. Good bunch of missionaries. They do some amazing stuff. Now, Baptist churches have got a strong record of supporting missionaries. I love hearing how churches do this. It's all about, we're going to empower someone to tell the world out there about Jesus while we tell the world around here about Jesus. And, you know, one of the things you do if you have a missionary is you look after them, don't you? Like, it's the same thing you do with your pastors. You look after them. It's really helpful for a pastor's ability to preach on a Sunday if he hasn't starved the rest of the week. So you give them a bit of a salary. You make sure that they're okay. And we do that for missionaries, don't we? And you know what a missionary just sometimes needs? Oh, a nice cup of tea. You know, you've had a long day, it's been a hard day, and you just want to sit down and have a nice cup of tea. Sending a tea bag to a missionary is a really thoughtful thing to do. And so what you would do, you'd sit at home, and you'd start with a cup of tea, wouldn't you, if you're going to send tea bags away. You'd start with a cup of tea, and you'd sip it, and you'd drink it, and then... Here's one I've got actually over here, if you guys want to send it to Baptist World Aid. Once you're finished with it, you put it in the oven for a little bit, just on a low heat. Yeah, it still smells like tea. That's good. This is incredible tea. It doesn't even change the water color. That tastes like dirty water. Once you have a bit of a collection of dried tea bags, you would pack it up and send it to your missionary. And this is actually what Baptist churches in Western Australia used to do. And maybe there's someone here who used to do it. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands. This is what actually happened. Does that sound to you like valuing missionaries to send them used tea bags? Who says yes? Who says, can I have your tea bag once you're finished, Nick? How would you feel if you went to visit someone and they gave you a secondhand tea bag? Oh. Surely, if you valued someone and you didn't have enough money to buy them a fresh tea bag and have one yourself, you'd just not have a cup of tea yourself and give them that tea bag. Wouldn't you do that? In Malachi's day, people gave the impression that they were valuing God, but not really. They were sacrificing worthless animals. They were getting rid of the runts, those that would be no economic loss. If you don't know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, it's worth having a read. They have the same sort of attitude. They looked to be generous, but they were cheats. The people were offering their dregs, and the priests who were responsible for the sacrifices were accepting them. You know, it's easy to think that God should be happy with what we choose to give up for him, especially in tough times. In the ancient Near East, most of the religions there believed that sacrifices were the ways that the gods ate, like they needed sacrifices to survive. But God doesn't need us. The real God, the only God, he is the one who sustains us, not the other way around. Israel sacrificing to God wasn't about feeding God. It wasn't about food. It was about recognizing who God is. About, recognizing the cost of sin and the absolute holiness of God. the ultimate sacrifice, the one that all of these Old Testament sacrifices were looking forward to, it was Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who the utterly holy one who gave himself for our sin, who died our death, who defeated death, who shares his life with all who trust in him. And what should our response be to that? I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your lives to God as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship, says Paul, Romans chapter 12. Giving God our lives, our all, our everything, because he is our rescuer. And yet it is so easy to go through the motions, to expect God to accept our dregs, the dregs of our time, our money, our devotion, our future, our lives, prioritizing the things that I want over God in my life. Now, I arrived here early, so I know these guys were practicing, but it's things like not bothering to practice for worship because, quote, God loves a joyful noise. He'll be happy with that, won't he? Or skipping church because I chose to go out last night, or because I'm on holiday, or because I need a little bit of me time and God can just get in line, I give him so much anyway. Doing the least amount possible with regards to the body of Christ because I just don't have the time. Putting God last on my budget rather than first. Screaming passionately at the football on the TV screen. And coming to church and not frowning, not smiling, just unemotional, and then walking out again. Silent. Maybe it's loving our kids more than God. Maybe it's valuing our jobs more than God. There are so many different ways that in our actions, what we say to God is, God, you're wonderful, you're precious, and if I have time, I'll fit you into my calendar somewhere, sometime. You can have the dregs, God. God doesn't want the dregs of our lives. In Malachi's day, the dregs were lame, blind, sick, useless, worthless sacrifices. Can we put the next slide on, please? Thank you. Now, I actually had to ask AI to draw me a picture of this sheep. Because if you go on all the stock photo sites, it's really weird. They don't have photos of sick, blind, lame, damaged sheep. Strange that. I think it gave a pretty good impression. Certainly, if I was God and somebody rocked up with this as the sacrifice, if they had a really nice sheep at home, I would go, man, you promised the best you had and you bought the worst you got. And God says to them, why don't you try this little trick on your governor? See what he does. We don't have governors these days, so let's try a slightly different trick. Anyone here got a job? Anyone got a job? Anyone interviewing for a job this week, maybe? You know, what I suggest you do this week is every day, take a 3-hour lunch. Because you're worth it, aren't you? Take a 3-hour lunch and then see what your boss says to you after that, if you do it every day this week. Your boss is going to come to you and say, excuse me, I think I deserve a little bit more than that. In fact, God comes and says to Malachi's readers some of the most shocking words. He says, I just wish someone would close the doors to the temple and lock it. Because you do all this pretending of how spiritual you are, and look how good we are. We're bringing God a technically it's a lamb we're bringing to God. And you're trying to fob me off, says God, with your second best. God is amazing. God is incredible. God is great. And if Israel is not going to recognize that, then the nations are going to recognize that. There will be a day when everyone will recognize God's greatness. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. People will be caught up in who God is. They will bring Him pure offerings because God is the great high King. He is the most amazing person there is. In Malachi's day, they thought God a nuisance and a pain. Probably while they sang about how wonderful He was from one of the Psalms. They would sacrifice things like an animal that had been mauled out in the fields. And you might go, well, waste not, want not, but A, it's not about food. B, would you feed that to a friend? God is so much more valuable than any other friend. C, the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy explicitly says that kind of stuff is not good, it's bad. In fact, God says, you think you're going to get a blessing by bringing me these things. But actually, cursed is the one who tries to cheat God when they keep the best back for themselves. We live in a busy world. We have a whole bunch of demands on us. And there can be a temptation to get by with good enough for God, so that it doesn't affect us too much. It's tempting to go through the motions to keep God happy. But God is no fool, and He will not be treated as second rate. He is our Creator, our Lord, our King, our Rescuer, our Redeemer. He is worth everything. He who gave His life for us is worth more than fobbing Him off. The question is this: are we just going through the motions? Are we ticking boxes? Are we loving God? Are we truly loving God? Because if we love Him, we'll realize who He is, how amazing He is. We will give Him His all, or our all. And please don't think that I'm standing up here as the, oh, you're such bad people. Because I look at my life and I know that I often go through the motions. I think I can get away with it, or I just put myself first. You know, on that phone call that I had with my wife where I was very astutely multitasking, at one point she just says, okay, well, I'll let you get on with it. Which is wife code for, I know you're multitasking, I'm not putting up with it. And at that point, I actually stopped and I said, no, please wait. And I walked away from the computer, closed it or something. And I gave her my full attention. I hadn't chosen to go through the motions sort of on a, I will now declare that she's not worth my time. It was just, no, I'm busy, this is important, and I can do two things at once. No, but actually, I can't do two things at once. Actually, I can't value two things at once. I can't have me first in my life and God first in my life. I'm so glad that I have a wife who very gently calls me out on things when I need to be called out on them so that I can stop and go, actually, wait, I do love you and you are worth my time. I so appreciate that I have a God who loves me enough to gently call me out, who starts with, I have always loved you, and then says, hey, it feels like you are going through the motions with me. And so I think this passage today from Malachi is one of those moments where God is gently tapping me on the shoulder and tapping us on the shoulder. And I wonder, where in our lives are we not giving God our full attention? Where are we going through the motions? What secondhand tea bags are we giving to him? Is that what he's worth? Lord God, we all know the answer is no, that's not what you're worth. But sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves or our world or our struggles or our busyness or even good things, Lord, that we treat you as less important, that we don't prioritize you in our lives. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the way that I do that. We're sorry for the way that we do that. Lord Jesus, as individuals and as a church, may we desire to put you first. May we honor you with all that we have. Thank you that you do come along and you tap us on the shoulder and you say, I love you, but I'm not going to be treated as someone who should get second best. You shouldn't, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you're worth more to us. We're sorry. Help us. Help us to reorient our lives so that you come first. Because you are the best that there is.